In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm tired. I'm tired of the isolation, the division, the general stress of these days. I'm tired of worrying about things at 2:30 in the morning. When we hear the Beatitudes, I feel like Jesus is still speaking directly to us. I hear, "Blessed are the merciful," and I think of the healthcare workers. I hear, "Blessed are the pure of heart," and I think of students going back to learning, especially those doing school for the first time. I hear, "Blessed are those who mourn," and I think of those who have lost loved ones along the way. I myself find comfort in the words, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven," when I'm down and having a bad day, or more often when I'm lying awake at 2:30 worrying about this and that. I also find this scripture a bit unnerving, because here I am, a white middle-class woman with two healthy boys, and I'm living in Glastonbury, Connecticut. I'm healthy. We don't struggle to put food on the table. We own a home. I find comfort in "Blessed are the poor in spirit," but at the same time, I feel guilty. Sometimes I think, who am I to feel poor in spirit when I have so much? Sometimes I think I shouldn't be tired of all this. I should be thankful. After all, I'm far better off than so many others. William, many of you know William, my three-year-old, started at a two-day nursery school this fall. He had a great first few days, and then one day he woke up crying, and he was not going to school. He did not want to go. He didn't like it. He was all done. So after many conversations and talking about it, he was able to say in so many words, "Well, Mrs. B makes me stop playing when it's circle time. And then I don't get to go back to playing. We have to have snack." Now, I'm not going to respond to my three-year-old by saying, "Honey, you don't have any idea what a real problem is, so get over it." To him, this is a life-altering issue. It was something he was dwelling on, losing sleep over, and it bothered him so much that it ruled out all the good things he was enjoying about school. When we look at this scripture, we don't hear, "Blessed are the poorest in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn the most. Blessed are the meekest." Because this is not a competition. It's really easy to say, "What's he complaining about? What does she have to be so upset about?" But life isn't a competition. We would not judge a child for having big emotions about a seemingly small experience. So why are we so quick to judge each other? God is not intending for us to one-up each other. He's asking us to have compassion for each other. Something that rolls off the back of one person may be truly crippling to someone else. The circumstances of our lives may be different for each of us, but the feelings that we feel are the same. We need to be understanding of those around us because, as the saying goes, everyone is fighting a battle we know nothing about. In this scripture, Jesus puts us at our lowest when we are poor in spirit, meek, sorrowful, and tells us it is then that we are blessed. He's not discrediting our feelings, but he is calling us to look at our lives through a lens of gratitude. I remember clamming with my dad one summer day in my mid-20s, and it was not my best summer. My roommate of 8 years had just gotten engaged and was moving out, while my own relationship had just ended. I needed a new apartment and a new start. Not a big deal when I look back at it, but at the time, those two major life changes happening at once just about put me over the edge. So my dad and I were out in the middle of the bay on a beautiful day, and my dad looked around and he said, "You know, sometimes I wonder, how did we end up here? Why are we here? We're here in Guilford, Connecticut. We are enjoying the day. It's beautiful. Why are we here instead of somewhere else, like in the Middle East or in the middle of a war zone or wondering if we're going to have something to eat tonight? We're really so lucky." The wonderful thing about life is that no matter the hardship, the struggle, the sadness, We always have God. Today we heard, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. God gives all of us blessings to get through the hard times. Maybe you just lost a loved one, but you have the support of family and friends, and you see an outpouring of love from people you may not have even realized were in your corner. Maybe you struggle to make the choice about keeping your child home this year or sending him to school. And in keeping him or her home, you found a group of parents and a whole new support system that you didn't have before of other homeschooled children. And for those times that are really, really dark, if you have nothing else to feel hopeful about, you can find comfort in the fact that God's love is a constant that we all have and will not lose. On November 4th, some part of this group of people here today is going to wake up feeling really poor in spirit. And some part of us is going to feel truly blessed. We're going to hear those results of the election, and you may jump for joy, or you may say, I'm just going to go back to bed. So on November 4th, remember the other side, the ones who are poor in spirit, those who mourn. Remember that no matter how our views differ, we've all been in each other's shoes when it comes to feeling really disappointed, angry, scared, unsure. If you find yourself in a dark place, hold on to that gift from God, the gift that we are blessed with, even at our lowest. In the next few days, if you become poor in spirit, remember the gift. Remember that God's love will never abandon us, even in our darkest hours. Take comfort in the Beatitudes, and take comfort in knowing there is always something to be thankful for. Amen.